From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues a series on Paul's Epistle to the Colossians. This epistle sets forth the glorious person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ in a manner designed to increase the believer's love for the Savior and to provide guidance in living the Christian life. Prior to the message by Dr. Cairns, we'll hear a devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as well as some Christ-honoring sacred music.
This morning's text is found in Romans chapter 1 and verse 7. Call to be saints. We are very apt to regard the apostolic saints as if they were saints in a more special manner than other children of God. All are saints whom God has called by His grace and sanctified by His Spirit, but we are apt to look upon the apostles as extraordinary beings, scarcely subject to the same weaknesses and temptations as ourselves. Yet in so doing, we are forgetful of this truth, that the nearer a man lives to God, the more intensely has he to mourn over his own evil heart, and the more his master honors him in his service, the more also does the evil of the flesh vex and tease him day by day. The fact is, if we had seen the Apostle Paul, we should have thought him remarkably like the rest of the chosen family, and if we had talked with him, we should have said, "We find that his experience and ours are much the same. He is more faithful, more holy, and more deeply taught than we are, but he has the self-same trials to endure. Nay, in some respects, he is more sorely tried than ourselves." Do not then look upon the ancient saints as being exempt either from infirmities or sins, and do not regard them with that mystic reverence which will almost make us idolaters. Their holiness is attainable even by us. We are called to be saints by that same voice which constrained them to their high vocation. It is a Christian's duty to force his way into the inner circle of saintship. And if these saints were superior to us in their attainments, as they certainly were, let us follow them. Let us emulate their ardor and holiness. We have the same light they had, the same grace is accessible to us, and why should we rest satisfied until we have equaled them in heavenly character? They lived with Jesus. They lived for Jesus. Therefore, they grew like Jesus. Let us live by the same Spirit as they did, looking unto Jesus, and our saintship will soon be apparent.
God has not given us the spirit of fear, but has given us the strength to obey. With power and sound mind, with love the unfailing kind, oh,
Are you seeking to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to some loved one, some neighbor, or someone with whom you work? We're pleased to offer you a booklet by Dr. Alan Cairns that is an excellent evangelistic tool. It's entitled, The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final. In this little booklet, Dr. Cairns finds a balance between those who admire the message but keep it to themselves, and those who, in their haste to present the gospel, do not take time to examine its true content, and therefore never really present it in its beauty and fullness. Dr. Cairns understands the gospel as it is presented by Christ to be the fullness of God, and he presents it freely to all who will believe. Furthermore, he explains that the salvation declared in the gospel, once received and experienced, is final. The believer is kept by the power of God, and nothing can separate him from the love of God. For a free copy of The Gospel of Salvation, just contact us. You may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may email your request to info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Ask for The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final by Alan Cairns. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues his studies in the Epistle to the Colossians as he brings the next portion of a message entitled Security Guarantees Fidelity. The text is chapter 1, verse 23, where Paul wrote, If ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. In the beginning of the message, Dr. Cairns dealt first with the meaning of the word if. As he explained, the sense of the word in this context is not an expression of doubt. Rather, it conveys the idea of since or because. Paul took it for granted that these Colossian believers were continuing in the faith of the gospel. In expounding the text, Dr. Cairns has been showing from Scripture that all who are reconciled to God come to faith in Christ. Further, as the gospel is preached to all kinds of men, there are different responses. But unless the preached word is received into the heart by faith, there is no salvation. And now with today's message, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
What Paul said regarding the ancient Jews in the days of Moses could be said of many churchgoers today, that the word does not profit them, not being mixed with faith, not being heard by faith, not being received by the hearing of faith. It is possible to hear. It is possible to give a mental assent. Again, there are those, sort of a philosophical branch of the Reformed movement, that would like to limit faith to nothing more than a believing, which is a mental assent, devoid of a trusting heart and an obedient spirit. Denying implicitly what Paul calls the obedience of faith. A true belief touches the mind, but a true belief touches the heart. With the heart man believeth. It moves the will. It informs behavior. Yet there are many who hear it, who can assent to it, who can nod their head in the right way at the right time to make it appear that they understand the words, they understand the concept, they understand the teaching, and they don't reject the teaching, but yet they have never heard with the hearing of a personal Christ-receiving faith. Men and women, you can go to hell believing every word of that book to be true. I want you to listen to that very carefully. You can go to hell believing every word of that book to be true. It is the hearing of faith, the laying hold of the Christ of this book by faith. By grace are ye saved through faith. Those who hear the gospel hear it in different ways. Those who, for whom Christ purchased reconciliation, will certainly believe it with the hearing of faith. This follows inevitably. Reconciliation was actually purchased and accomplished in Christ's body by the means of his death. That work of Christ is not dependent on or reversible by any later act of man. His work enters into our conscious experience only as we exercise faith in him. And therefore, by logical necessity, and I'll prove it by biblical statement, obviously, but by logical necessity, by God's grace, all whom Christ reconciled come to faith in him. Let me prove that from Scripture. Philippians 1:29 teaches a very important truth, that saving faith, the hearing of faith, is something that we receive as God's gift on the merits of Jesus Christ. To you it is given to believe on the behalf or on the merits of Christ. That's a very plain statement. Faith in Christ is given to us on the merits of Christ. It is something purchased by the blood of Christ's atonement. To put this in theological terms, the Lord Jesus did not merely purchase redemption, reconciliation, justification, etc. He did purchase those, but he purchased the application of them to his people just as well. He didn't purchase them and leave them out there as if they could be purchased and yet never be claimed. He purchased a people to whom God, for Christ's sake, gives this gift of saving faith. In Hebrews chapter 10, you'll find it in chapter 10, but let me read it from chapter 8. You've got these two passages that are very similar. In Hebrews chapter 8, the apostle deals in verse 10 with the covenant. This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their heart. Now, what is that? That is a description of regeneration, of a new creature. It is also a description of a heart made obedient in and by and through the exercise of faith. Verse 12, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, their sins and iniquities, will I remember no more. Obedience of faith is a covenant blessing. It was purchased by Christ and it's given to us on his behalf or on his merit. So we notice here first and foremost that all who are reconciled to God come to faith in Christ. Second thing we notice in the text is this, that all who are reconciled to God continue in the faith of the gospel. And it's interesting that Paul employs three very significant terms. I will run through them rather quickly. First, he speaks of the faith of a Christian. Then he speaks of the foundation of that faith. And then he speaks of the firmness of that faith. The faith of a Christian. Now, I've already said we come to be reconciled to God or have the experience of reconciliation by faith. But the faith that Paul speaks about is a lot more than the act of our believing. It speaks of what we believe. It's the body of truth in Christ that's essential to salvation. Now, one of the big questions is, what is that essential body of truth? Nobody has ever really been able to put down a full list of all the fundamentals that are absolutely essential to faith in Christ and the salvation of the soul. You can put down some. Can you ever be sure you've got them all? Can you ever be sure you've got them all in the right order, the right balance? No, you can't, for the Bible doesn't do it. But it does set down certain essentials. What I will call an irreducible minimum, beyond which there can be no faith unto salvation. What is this essential truth? What is the faith in which you must believe if you're ever to be saved? Well, I think in context, and this context, of course, is not the only context. There are other things in the New Testament that time will not allow us to go into. But in Colossians, the context says that Paul has been dealing with the person and the work of Christ. These were under attack in Colossae. There was an attack upon Christ's person. There was an attack upon Christ's work. And Paul is saying the person and work of Christ are not negotiable. There is no room for error on the person and the work of Jesus Christ. There's no room for latitude here. You either believe or you don't believe. And if you don't believe these things, you can't be saved. He has spoken particularly in dealing with his person. He has spoken of the preeminence of Christ as creator and as redeemer. Now, I'm not going to rehash what we have been through in the former part of this chapter. The preeminence of Christ in creation. We saw, if I may sum it up, that here you have some of the most profound words in all of the 66 books of the Bible. Here you get an insight into the working of God in creation and providence. And in the whole realm of creation, Jesus Christ is preeminent. Why? Because he is eternally and essentially God. Now, Paul is saying the slightest deviation away from the absolute essential personal deity of Jesus Christ is fatal to the soul. Let's understand that. There is no Christianity whatsoever where there is not a total, wholehearted endorsement of the New Testament teaching regarding the eternal, essential, absolute deity of Jesus Christ. Furthermore, I may have a little more to say about this from another angle tonight. There is no Christianity apart from the doctrine of Christ the Creator, and that takes in creation. We are not a bunch of advanced monkeys that have come about by natural selection. We have our place in the creation of which Christ, or in which Christ has the preeminence, because He's the Creator. Speaks of Him as the Redeemer. And He is preeminent in redemption. We have looked at that. When we come to His work, that work is in redemption. What a big word that was, delivering us from the power of darkness and translating us into the kingdom of the Son of God, in whom we have this redemption through His blood. And then His work is reconciliation. Now, this is the heart of the gospel. This is the irreducible minimum beneath which there's no salvation. Here's the faith. There is a tendency, you know, to believe that doctrine doesn't really matter, that the doctrinal, theological content doesn't really matter, that all you've got to do is be sincere. There was a local Presbyterian minister who wrote in the Greenville News not too long ago on the question as to whether people of other religions could be saved. He doesn't mean people of other religions come to faith in Christ. Certainly they may. But he's talking, can they be saved without ever coming to faith in Christ? He quotes an Anglican bishop whom he cites as a paragon of all conservatism, who says that really the Bible doesn't answer that. I don't know what Bible he's reading if the Bible doesn't answer that. But it comes down to it, yes. Yes, these people can be saved without faith in Jesus Christ. You see, ultimately what he can't get over is he can't believe that God could ever send a soul to outer darkness who's doing the best he can with the religion into which he was born. Tells you, first of all, he has no idea as to the biblical doctrine of sin. No idea as to the reality of human guilt. He has no idea as to the absolute sovereignty and freedom of divine grace. He speaks as if God owed it to somebody. He's also speaking as if there were some saving virtue in human religious sincerity. Let me tell you, my friend, this is all part and parcel of the overall satanic dogma that the content of the gospel doesn't really matter. All that matters ultimately is if you're sincere and you're doing the best you can and you're really not doing anybody else too much harm, God's going to get you into heaven. And I want to tell you, that's the devil's lie. The content of the gospel does matter. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." And apart from that truth known and received, there is no freedom, no salvation whatsoever. The faith, the content of the gospel.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America Or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.